Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the committee. If I can quickly, as requested, just go through the three slides. As we know, we're focusing on the three pillars for clean administration, which are leadership, financial and performance governance, and governance. Those are the three legs that we focus on, and if we say if those controls are in place, chances are pretty good that the department will get to clean. If we look at leadership, the first one is effective leadership. The DA is at the green. Oversight responsibility, DA is also in the green there. If you can look at HR management, for the previous year, DA was on red, where we said there was leadership intervention required. They now moved up to yellow, and it's basically because of the vacancy rate that was reduced. Previously, it was 22%. Currently, it's 13%, and if we look at the finance section, it's only 5%. It's still on yellow because we also consider the transfer of staff that is coming from Water Affairs and the impact of that. If they have the proper files, if that is complete, I mean, they need to adapt to a new environment, new policies, new procedures. So for that reason, we assessed DR as yellow and the HR management. We look at policies and procedures. DR was on yellow, they're still on yellow, and it's because of previous old policies that is outdated, that is still in regard to environmental and tourism that hasn't been approved. Several has been approved, but my understanding is that not all of them have been approved.
Policies
and procedures. Sorry? Some of the examples is acting allowance for senior management services, overtime policy, service benefits, special leave policy, parking, telephone policy. No, it's administrative. Okay. The next one in the leadership is the action plans, and they were also at yellow. Basically, as a result of the transfer, I mean, it's still work in progress, as we've heard, as it hasn't been finally transfer, so there is an action plan of taking the assets on, but it hasn't been done completely. And then under IT governance, yes. The majority of the risk and what we see as a threat for the department to get a clean again is relating to the transfer that was done from Water Affairs to DR. Under IT governance, there is inadequate governance, but at the moment it is with the legal services for review and approval. Under the financial and performance management, if I quickly look there, DIA did improve from yellow to green on proper record management. They still, we agree to the fact that there is monthly reconciliations, monitoring, and review is done properly and regularly, so that they're on a green. Reporting, the yellow there, once again, linked to the transfer from Water Affairs, working for water and working for fire. That is posing a risk for the department at this stage. And compliance was green, and IT systems relate to the same IT systems in terms of governance, where they still at the yellow. And then just the last slide, in terms of governance, we see that DIA is the only one that has a yellow in terms of internal audit, and that is mainly as a result that was also mentioned in the previous presentation, where internal audit is only looking at performance information in the fourth quarter, where we see internal audit as a management tool and being there proactively to provide management with control weaknesses so that they can act in time. They're only looking at the performance information now in the fourth quarter. And if they identify serious concerns, it might be too late for the department to act upon. And those are the... sorry. And those are the findings and the assessment in terms of the key controls.
I think it is very much linked, and we have actually corrected it. We've done a systems audit on our balance scorecard for the previous quarter as the first pilot, so we've corrected that. But the original reason for that is because of our internal audit model, which is an outsourced model, which means that we appoint external consultants at a very high cost to do the internal audits for us. So in terms of that process, we need to rationalize, so we've now created a little bit of internal capacity to do the performance audits at a quarterly basis, and we've actually started with it last quarter, where we look at the system, where the performance management system is audited on a quarterly basis, and then samples is taken from there for evidence. So we have corrected it.
We are
outsource it as well.
No. The problem with the policies, Chair, is that most of this, specifically the HR policies, have to go to the bargaining council, departmental bargaining council, to be approved on that layer. So these policies are basically in that process at this stage.
Policies are approved by the employee.
Agreed, consulted, agreed to. Sorry, the wording was wrong. Before it's...
Yeah.
I used the wrong wording, sorry.
I will never allow
No, Chair. IT and Human Resources is in Corporate Affairs. All the real boring things.
Thank you, Chair. I just need to get my mind around this transfer of assets. Those assets belong somewhere. Now, if that asset register that does not belong at a department where it's supposed to be transferred from, surely that department must be held accountable instead of the department that's receiving the assets. And I think I need to understand this. Why would this department have an adverse report when the previous department does not have the assets? If they don't have an asset register, then it's null and void. The normal process can take place. If they do, why the delay in transfer?
Thanks, Chairperson. I really just have thank you for everything. All the presentation is very, very useful, and it's good to see some bigger transfers on infrastructure. So that is very, very welcome. I just want to talk about the structure of the department DG, and if I would really like more details here on where you are with this process. All very exciting. I mean, as you said, it probably is more agile because you've got narrower functions. And clearly environmental quality has, over the last few years, been giving birth to a lot of new babies, including first, I think, climate change, now chemical and waste, and also a separate legal authorization. So I think you sort of touched on it, but I didn't get enough detail of it. Where I mean, you said subject to public service approval. So what does that mean? When is that approval expected? Are there any pitfalls along the way with regards to the new organogram? And those posts which are listed under each of those, let's focus on the new branches, which are effectively legal and chemical waste and environmental advisory. Okay, got it. Those wouldn't have appeared on last year's plan. Are those all existing posts that have just been divvied up into the new branches, or are some of them new? And if they are new, do they have a budgetary allocation against the post? Because, of course, that would then affect your vacancy rates if they do not. So please give us a little bit more. And then just with regards to all of those DDGs, where, if any, are the vacancies at the DDG level in your department at the moment? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG, and your department the presentation. I think it's just like the Chairperson said, you will be keep something for the committee happier, like the this on the budget from the Margarito. Then you put a trip for the budget allocated to the assembly. or the Sun Park. So this one I just like to know why Sun Park got a lot of problems from the Sun Park, but it's still allocated a lot of this budget. Also for the your new unit for the environmental advisory service here. For your budget is I think you already allocated for the 58 million, 61 million for this past future 3 years. Yes. This unit only for total 34 people. Yeah, 34 posts in this unit. So I'd like to know what you allocated with the budget for the with a lot of budget inside. Also regarding for your your green fund. Your green fund, you allocate the detail for the 2012 to the 15, but 2014 to 15, you haven't got allocated for any green fund inside. So from the your presentation, you say for your green fund will be contributed from the this green city green fund EPWP for this target. So I just like to know how you get this green fund for the this your allocation, 300 million, 500 million, then 2014-15 is you still keep the, because you from the 706 million to the 752 million, the total allocated for the this additional fund. So I just like to know how you get the 2014-15 this green fund. Then we will contribute for the in future. It's a green city. I don't know how you allocate the EPWP the program.
Is this green fund? Is that the one incentive?
No, not incentive.
Not
mentioned. Yeah.
Okay. It's a chain, honourable members. You remember last year the Minister of Finance allocated 800 million for as a green fund, to establish a green fund, and nothing happened last in this current financial year, and now they have asked that they've given the department that allocation of 800 million in two parts, the first year being 300 million and then the next one being 500 million, and the anticipation is that we will then use DBSA as the fund managers, or what they would be the ones that would be responsible for the actual project selection process, and the department would then have a co-management committee to approve. And the fund is earmarked for business enterprises. It's not for the government departments. And therefore, all depending on what proposals we get and what criteria we've set, we will then be able to at least facilitate a process. Yes, we can come and make a presentation on that.
Chibos, I'm not finished my question.
I know you're not finished. I just want to get
clarity. It's a separate one.
If you go on,
I know the green fund is, I think, a telecom or the ESCOM is already applied from green fund. I think a previous year get a 500 million. If I
ESCOM,
yeah, they get the green fund.
No,
from the ESCOM get the 500 million. Yeah, I think 2010 or 2009. Yeah, also green fund is all from green fund. So I like to know, yeah, because you allocate a lot of funds inside, but the one entity take a 500 million, then it's finished over. Then I think a chairperson, I just worry for the CFO and the manager to highlight for the day's financial annual report will be no problem for the unqualified auditor in the future, because you will be sending in the end of May this year. So I like to see if after this all the annual report for the finance is not unqualified report, auditor report, I will be happy to say DG's performance very good. So we can consider what you're talking for the performance bonus. So I just say
I'm very happy if in future we see the AG report is not unqualified for the your annual report. I will be happy for this department because we know this our water and environmental is afraid, always sort of problem. But I'm very happy if you say like that today, you highlight. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If you look at the presentation, under the MTEF additional funds requested, there was that 2.2 billion additional funds requested for the improving of service delivery, which is linked, obviously, to the waste disposal infrastructure. Now, I have my municipal cap on with my next question. The waste removal is a municipal function. There's no question about it. However, the permutation of landfill sites is not a municipal function. Now, what are municipalities supposed to do with the waste if the landfill sites are not approved and not permitted? That is my one question. And also, when it comes to the allocation, I don't see any money being allocated to this specific, unless I'm misreading the statement. Further to that, regarding the graph, which talks about the approved drawings and actual expenditures, there's a huge peak in the approved expenditure, but the actual is low. And in the next month, it doesn't correct itself. Can I just have an explanation of what that is all about? Thank you.
Anyone else with questions? All right, can we respond to those?
Yes. Thanks, Chair. I'll get my colleagues to come in on the Clean Technology Fund, which is an international fund that Eskom got funding from. Zahir, you ready to respond to that? And then on the Green Fund, CEO will also make an addition. And let me talk to just briefly, and the CFO will come back on the expenditure versus actual. Let me first deal with the principal and honourable member Wang on waste on this thing of assets. Is definitely the situation is that we are the department that's receiving and we should be getting everything ready, but we are trying to make sure that the function is not affected whilst we are responsible for it in the department. And therefore, we have to work with Water Affairs, and considering that we are under the same ministry, to see if we can at least find the solutions, because it does seem that there is a problem on assets. And the Auditor General had already pronounced on it even before the function was transferred to the department. So we can wait, but maybe we are not going to get much from waiting, and therefore, in the transfer process, we can see what is it that we can facilitate within what is allowed in the rules. Okay, and the waste function, yes, it's correct, honourable members, that permitting of waste sites is a national, it's our department's responsibility, working with provincial authorities. However, municipalities must submit the application and undergo the whole study to facilitate that permit. It has been found in the assessment report that actually municipalities, most municipalities cannot even complete the applications from the time we analyze the, and assess the backlog to when we then as a department made an informed decision of then hand-holding the municipalities. It meant we must appoint a consultant for the municipalities that go and assist with the compilation of the application and adherence to the EIA requirements. and then DIA would then authorize on that basis. There is not enough funding for it. We have some budget under the waste and sub-directorate that they have been using in terms of the operational expenditure from the previous years, but that's part of the baseline. But in terms of the future, we don't have additional funding. And this is an area, when we presented to the committee last year, our budget request, we indicated why we needed to get the money, and we had both the National Department funding in terms of what we are expected to do on waste functions. We have not even touched the other waste streams. We're still talking about just general waste. Hazardous and medical waste, we still have a big provision in terms of financing. I think, Chair, we have created the mechanism, the speed. The question is the speed at which we can do the work and to quality, to required quality because of the lack of funding. We have a municipal support program that we defined, which is why we have been able to then help the municipalities. We appointed service providers to go and help municipalities, but they cannot deal with all the municipalities. It's probably just going to be a fraction, and we'll then every year, based on what we have available, be able to make the progress. I think the team, when Ishan and the team makes the presentation tomorrow, I would ask them to give you the specific figures in terms of how many municipalities they handle per annum to help with the permitting backlog. Okay. So there is a mechanism, but I think it's more the scale of the mechanism and then the financing of the mechanism. Then the other matter in relation to the structure, honorable member, I tried to give the details, but just by way of clarifying and responding to that question, Honorable Morgan, the DPSA concurrence has not yet come through because when the minister submitted, then there was a reshuffle, and then the ministry, I guess, they are still considering then the concurrence to the departmental structure. But in the main, I think in the budget structure, what we've done, we use the existing posts that we have and then added some posts at a high level. So like in the unit of environmental services, we have existing posts of people and they are just moving to those positions, and you would probably then we're budgeting more for the operations and so on. So there is a budget reprioritization that we've undertaken for the environmental management programs, because the working for programs have got the biggest budget. I mean, they are like the department. So if we are now handling double what we are supposed to be able to handle for support function, from a support function base, we have to provide for that, which is why we are taking a budget funding from and reprioritizing from the environmental programs budget in order to be able to provide for what is required, especially in the support functions area, whether it's IT, because we've had to elevate our financial capability and supply chain capacity in order to be able to respond adequately to the needs of the of those programs. In respect to the EQP, yes, EQP gave birth to quite a number of programs, climate change and air quality, and the Air Quality Chief Directorate is therefore moving from where it was with its budget to that new branch to then continue to be funded in that session. The legal and compliance and chemicals and waste, this is where, yes, there is a mix of what is existing, but also we need to be able to put in additional funding. So we have vacant posts that are 15 chief directorates and 2 DDGs. And those are the posts that we will be funding through the reprioritization process, Honourable Member. They are supposed to be filled by the 1st of April, or at least the process, in order for us to be able to deliver both in terms of doing more work on the waste function to implement the Waste Act. We have not moved significantly far, and we can only do that if we do have those warm bodies. On the chemicals side, there is both the international negotiations that are ongoing on Mercury and others, but over and above that, the implementation of the whole phase-out plan for us to comply with the MDG timelines. The legal and compliance area, we have there's a new chief directorate that is just going to look at environmental management frameworks and risk management tools in order for us to be more proactive in terms of special planning inputs that are required. So I think in essence, what we have, we will prioritize filling those posts as urgently as possible. If we can get the response from DPSA within this month, it should still be possible. HR also had advised that we could advertise the post while we are awaiting that concurrence. We have already advertised, Chair. I think 2 weeks ago the adverts went out, so the process of recruitment has already started. Okay. And then additional queries, I think, can I get a COO to talk to the Green Fund and CFO thereafter?
Chair, I think just a little bit of background. After the Green Fund was announced, and because we as a department has done that Green Economy Summit and came up with those 9 focus areas, we then advertised for expression of interest from the private sector to participate in the green economy, and we then came up with those 9 areas of focus, and we then started pestering Treasury to say we want access to that green fund for those programs that we've done the expression of interest process and we've done follow-up work. There was quite a lot of work that we've done in that regard. In the meantime, they were in a process with the DPSA to also manage the fund. And we then went through quite a bit of negotiation between Treasury, ourselves, and the DPSA to come up with a model in terms of how the fund will be managed. And that MOU is now in its final stages before it will be approved by the Treasury ourselves and the DG, but basically what the principle is that DBSA would be managing the fund, allocating, doing the to these projects. Hopefully most of those projects that were in our portfolio would qualify, but we would participate in terms of the oversight role. In terms of that, the DG is the chair of the management committee. The project selection would be done through the DBSA and the department for that funding process. And the idea is to be seed funding to make a project bankable ultimately. So it's not a continuous funding into a process, and it would be for this period. There could then be generation. That part of the idea is also that the projects must be of such a nature that it can also attract both private sector as well as international funding to maybe over the longer term maintain this fund as a startup fund for green initiatives by the private sector, meeting the criteria of not being able to have a bankable project but to get it to a bankable stage. And we think the first intake would be from that portfolio of projects that we have set up and what we've presented to you before as part of our green economy work. So that is just the green fund. The MOU is actually quite detailed. What we are foreseeing in our strategic plan is that towards the 300 million allocated in the next financial year would be allocated to projects before the end of the next financial year. And the project plan has actually set that up. The money is available from the 1st of April, and we would then need to have that process. But because we've done a lot of this work already in terms of our – so we would just translate some of the criteria that we have through our expression of interest process, et cetera, to be the annexes to the MOU in terms of the implementation. So that set-up period, if I recall correct, DG News, correct me, was 3 to 4 months, and then we start implementing in terms of that in order to be able to allocate that entire 300 million that is allocated to the next financial year in the next financial year. Yep. DG, I think we need to talk about how it links to the other funds, all the other funds.
I think, honourable members, there are other funds that can be accessed to at least facilitate a low carbon trajectory in our country. The Jobs Fund is one avenue, which is hosted by IDC. And PBSA working with, I think, the Department of Economic Development. There is a multi-billion fund with IDC for infrastructure. And in all of those areas, there are possibilities of real green innovation that can be realized. We, as a department, have been able to access, I think, from the Jobs Fund, the SANB is receiving, they put out an application, and I think we reflected on that when we were presenting our funding requests with our entities last year. Working for programs, they also made a request to the Jobs Fund, but they have not yet been given any allocation. But if I remember, the SANB one, is it 300 million? I think it's 300 million that they were allocated from the Jobs Fund. So I think the committee can get a presentation on exactly what the plan from SANB. Okay. This year. So Zaire can talk to the Clean Technology Fund how, as a department, also we've at least championed in the country to make sure that there is both a funding available for private sector to access and public sector, which is Eskom and others. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gigi, Chair, Honourable Members. I think there's a distinction between the Green Fund because there's a lot of names that have similar name like Green Fund. You have a Green Climate Fund, which is a multilateral fund, which was one of the outcomes of the COP, and then you have a National Fund, which is a Green Fund, which Treasury is. The Honourable Member Huang was talking about the $500 million. That relates to the World Bank's Climate Investment Funds. And within the World Bank Climate Investment Funds, there was a facility called the Clean Technology Fund, within which South Africa had got an investment plan of $500 million approved. Now, the Clean Technology Fund is not grant money. It's concessional finance, which means it's loans that have to be paid back. That $500 million was constituted in the following way. $250 million of that money went to a concentrated solar power plant investment, which is the Eskom one in Upington. $100 million of that is allocated for infrastructure connectivity for wind power. Then there's another $100 million which was given to the IFC, which is the private sector arm of the World Bank, in order to make $15 million available for energy efficiency projects and $85 million available for renewable energy. They've concluded two agreements, one with Sesfin Bank and one with Mercantile Bank, in which they are making this concessional finance available to SMMEs in South Africa, either in the area of energy efficiency or in the area of renewables. Remaining in that amount is a $50 million part of our investment plan, which was designed for solar water heater rollout. That still needs to be allocated in terms of that. That is then separate from the National Green Fund, which the DG was alluding, which is more designed, you know. The banks will provide the $15 million is a loan provided to Sasfin Bank for them to on-lend to small, medium enterprises who want to do this kind of project. Yeah. But the loans are at concessional rates, so it's much cheaper than one would get through. So the idea is how you leverage them. So Green Fund money, let's say, out of the national process that we would get out of the DBSA could be used for an SMME to go and attract additional money out of the Sasfin Bank. Because the large problem is that most of your SMMEs don't have a balance sheet upon which banks are willing to make finance available, and therefore the perceived risk of these investments are far higher. But I can talk to more of these funds when I do my presentation on international, if so.
Chair Zahir, when he makes the presentation, he will talk to Adaptation Fund and all the others at that point. CFO, on expenditure versus actual difference.
Thanks, Gigi. Basically, if we look at that graph that we are looking at, it was during budget adjustment time. Remember, because when they transfer the function, they don't give us the money up front. So during a budget adjustment, round about, I think it's November and December, that's the only time when we get the money into the department. So we're working on the advance that we got from Water Affairs initially of 421 million. Then during a budget adjustment, you can see the figures there, the 800 million and the 400 million. So the budget of the Natural Resource Management is 1.2 billion. So that's what Treasury was giving to us. And then we paid back the advance to Water Affairs. So that is what is causing, you know, like that spike. And coming to the asset transfer, why is it the problem of the department? I think now we're almost finding a solution. It's not a problem any longer. It was a problem initially because the only thing that we received from Water Affairs was a disc. So a disc is not an asset register. And basically we decided to read the disc, classify it correctly, compile an asset register for them, and then give it back to them. And then now we're also putting, you know, like a rule to say, because these are not high-value assets, we don't want to spend time on them much. If it was high-value assets like trucks, perhaps boats and ships, it would be a serious problem. But here we're talking about small assets, we're talking about desks, we're talking about chairs. So we've got an escape, you know, like a way of doing it. Because we are going to talk to National Treasury, the discussion that we've already started to say, these are useless assets. They are not held for sale. they are not supposed to be impaired. They are not supposed to be evaluated. Some of them are dating back to 1999. What is important to us is that the assets of government are secured and we are using them and we know where we are. So we've done that for Water Assets. So the next thing that we're going to say to Treasury is that we're going to look at the completeness of the asset register that is given back to Water Assets. We've made an asset register for them and we've given it to them. In the absence of documents, we are going to record them at one rand. What we are going to make it a point is that the assets of government are there, and when the auditors are looking for them, they find them. Yes, Chair, I think... The issues raised by the AGs in corporate affairs and around internal audit, which is with the COO, and I think we've responded to the internal audit cycle and what we are doing about that. In terms of the policies, we can report that it has actually been through the HR policies, it's been through the bargaining council, and it's actually with the DG for final sign-off. And it did only go for consultation too, because it affects conditions of service, and that's why it needs to go to the bargaining council. In terms of the IT, we have put in the controls that was recommended by the AG, and it is, again, our legal services is looking at it. It dealt with the security of the assets, the use of the assets, the security of the system, the ability of... the security of information in the system, the accessibility of external parties onto the system, and we've worked through a system to address that in that. But we will provide a detailed response of the department on that to the AG on that.
You know.
Thank you, Chair. I am going to go on your cue of being quick and try to just get to the interesting stuff. The Chief Operating Officer branch, I'll do that, Chair, basically have five areas of focus. We have the coordination and information management, and that is where the sector coordination is happening, as well as things like GIS, and also where we're doing the local government support program. Then we have the business performance management, that is, and risk management chief directorate, which is the chief directorate that is basically compiling the business plans, doing the quarterly reporting on the business plans, looking at the performance against all the indicators, etc., as well as identifying and managing the risk, which then feeds into the internal audit program. The third area of focus is communications, which is basically the work that we do with the media, as well as our outreach work and advocacy work that we do around the work of the department. The Chief Directorate Special Projects is actually a person whom is providing advisory services in, for example, you would recall when we wound up the Buisa back, so when there's specific upcoming urgent projects around governance, but it's also providing advice in terms of the estimate of national expenditure and those strategic projects, and is generally providing a project management service in the organization. Going forward, we see this again as a unit that can, in the next financial year, add value by providing also that project management services to key departmental projects like the integrated permitting project, like the spatial information-based decision-making projects, instead of outsourcing that project management capability and just outsourcing real technical specialist work that cannot be done internally. And then the last area of focus is the internal audit unit, which is located in the COO branch, but the director internal audit or the head internal audit report as per the PFMA requirements directly to the accounting officer. If we then go into the unit, I've talked about the special projects one. You can go to the next one. In communication, we have three areas of focus: corporate communications, external communication, and then stakeholder and public awareness, and that is what we spend our money on basically in communications is around that area. External communications relates a lot to media queries and responding to media queries, as well as getting opinion pieces, etc., into the media, etc., and corporate communications is more in terms of the internal. It would be, for example, the intranet, where we communicate with our employees, and which are located in different places of the country. Next. In terms of coordination and information management, this is the chief directorate that has been split in the new structure. It had two more functions in addition to the functions that is listed here, which is sustainable development and the green economy work, and that has now moved to the environmental advisory unit. So that work is no longer done in this coordination and information management chief director. It still contains the geographical information system. Chair, and last year the committee was very interested in our enterprise GIS program, and I will, when we get to progress and reporting, and we have, as you suggested, reprioritized budget in order to expedite that process. It will not be a year-long process, but it will no longer be a five-year process. It would be a two-and-a-half-to-three-year process to have this. We do take you very seriously. We've also gave you a report on the environmental outlook report or the state of environment work that we're doing that we will be publishing next year, and you would recall Anna taking you through the process. In that regard, you've suggested that we get an external peer review process, and you suggested that we use the universities or the research institutions, and we've actually have an agreement with the CSIR to do a peer reviewing on each chapter as well on the integrative writing on the State of Environment report that we will be publishing early next year. Sector education and training development, the DG talked about the sector skills development plan as well as the biodiversity sector skills development strategy, and this unit basically worked with the Department of Higher Education as well as with the Department of Basic Education and all the CETAs to get the sector education and training development work done, as well as with the expanded public work programs that we have where that element of skilling and training is important. Then we have a unit which is a new unit which deal with sector conflict and dispute resolution. There is a chapter in NEMA that has never quite been implemented fully because it's a difficult thing around conflict and dispute resolution specifically in a regulatory environment. And we have now done some pilot work which we've learned lessons from and would now be concentrating in implementing a model for sector conflict and dispute resolution. And then we have the whole section around intergovernmental cooperation, and here we talk about the issues like the outcome 10 coordination, the work that we do in the sector that we do through MINTEC and MINMEC, and where we deal with other departments as well that have an influence on the sector. So it's coordinating work. In business performance and risk management, there is the director risk management. This used to be a deputy director post, which we have upgraded after there was concerns expressed 2 years back, a yellow face around the whole process in terms of identifying risks, quantifying them, and linking the risk management process directly to the internal audit process, which we have now done, and we've separated the two functions to not be in the same chief directorate so that they can be complementarity but not necessarily undue influence. Then we have coordination and administration. You know, we have to respond to quite a few parliamentary questions, for example, and somebody needs to coordinate that work, and that is done, that is done there. We have strategic management as support to that, and then the whole work about policy coordination. In policy coordination, it's basically the link to the cabinet clusters program in terms of linking to policy development, etc. And then we have the Office of the DG and Secretariat Service for all of those intergovernmental structures that we are running. We're providing a Secretariat Service to that. Thank you. The performance management cycle you are very familiar with. We basically have a 3-year cycle, a 5-year cycle in the strategic plan. We update not only our annual performance plan but our strategic plan on an annual basis by just adding a 5th year in the cycle. And then we have an annual process of which involves quarterly reviewing of performance, which include the risk register, the internal audit process, and the continuous planning in terms of managing performance of the current year while planning for the next financial year within the strategic framework. And that's basically what this very confusing diagram is saying, Chair, just that it cycles within cycles. It cycles within cycles. Then we have the... which it sometimes feel like too cheap, but we do have to have this continuous process of monitoring and evaluation while planning and reporting, and it's that cycle. And we report to Treasury and we report to the Department of Performance Management and Evaluation. So that's just two that we're reporting to in this quarterly cycle. Then internal audit. As we said before, we have a model of half insourced, outsourced. The internal capacity is used more in terms of management and oversight, while when we do while we use the external services in terms of real expertise, in terms of audit processes. And at this point in time, it's still more cost-effective with the growth. We have a director internal audit, and then we have an audit committee, which is chaired by an external party. Our audit committee currently is chaired by Mr. Tom Bower. He is the audit committee chair. So basically how it's... Internal audit, yes, they do. The internal audit process that we have, the cycle there is basically to link it back to the risks of the department, to then have an audit process based on the risks. So there's a audit plan for the year prepared, which is then approved before the beginning of the financial year based on the risk profile, and which is then implemented. But it also needs to be flexible because there are things that we call ad hocs that come up. There might be a concern, for example, around whether the process and the assets have been dealt with properly, and in order to prepare for the external audit, we may ask internal audit to do an audit about that process as well in order to see whether our controls in place. Yes. To the CFO. They account to the CFO. And the CFO report also, like the internal audit, head directly to the DG. But for administrative purposes, they form part of a branch. They do. What we then have is, so based on that annual plan, there's then an engagement. If a specific unit or a specific section is being audited, there's an engagement letter. They are then audited. The results is communicated. And similar to the external process is that there's then an opportunity for them to respond, and then there's implementation and monitoring of that. So that's basically the internal audit cycle. Next slide. Thanks, Cornelia. Within, I've combined the performance with the targets, and I can go through all of them in detail, but the ones that are in green, we are basically on target, totally within what we've planned to do, and that applied to the percentage compliance with statutory tabling and prescripts, the unqualified audit report, percentage expenditure. It says 99% there, so we've now heard it's 95%, so that should be orange, which is the projected one. Percentage of expenditure on affirmative procurement, you've seen the target that we've exceeded the target in the current financial year. On that, percentage implementation of the risk-based internal audit plan, that is on target, as well as the percentage implementation of audit recommendation and mitigating actions in that regard. And the targets for those in the outer years have remained the same. In terms of percentage adherence to cabinet and cluster schedule, there we are on target. The presidential hotline, our target is 100%. We have a 98% compliance, which is a little bit off target. There's basically two queries that we've... it's two queries, literally, that we've delayed, but the responses have subsequently been submitted. The number of media statements, speeches, media briefings, opinion pieces issued, we're on target there, although it's an area where we have to increase in terms of that's the proactive media things rather than the reactive media things, where we think we need to up our game a little bit. And the number of public participation events, these are the events prescribed. We've hosted thus far three events, instead of the five which is prescribed, but of course there was a whole lot of events that we could count but that we didn't count which relate to the COP17 process. The minimum number of uploads, updates per the DR website, we're on target there, and the publications produced and distributed, we are also on target there. Again, there you will see that we've increased our game. In terms of parliamentary questions responded to on time frames, Mr. Morgan's unit is not performing that well. So, Chair, we have... Chair, we have two concerns here that contributes mostly to that. The first one relates to questions that are asked about the public entities and for which the turnaround times is very tight. So we refer it to the public entities, they respond, we look it back, the branch, the responsible look at it before we can respond. And the second challenge that we have is while we might meet the time frames in the department, it then needs to be signed off by the minister, and that reflects not just the department's response to the time frames, it responds is when the ministry signed off on it. So those are the two main areas where we have delays. Then on the rest of that, we are on target. The environmental awareness campaigns, we have done that in a less structured way, kind of as an ad hoc, so we see that as sort of a new target with five events targeted for 2012-2013. In terms of the South African Environmental Outlook or the State of Environment Report, the first, we will be meeting our targets here. The drafts of the chapters have been completed and is currently being peer-reviewed by the CSIR, and we are on target to have the report published in June next year with the executive summary compiled by the end of the financial year already. Enterprise GIS, we have... Yes. Gee, we've actually looked at when we do in October, November, we will have the report, the chapters finalized, but not yet the integrative writing. In other words, the linking thing. So we were thinking of bringing it back at that stage, because you would then be able to see the trends in terms of the different chapters that we've agreed. Yeah, but we can then in July take you through with what we have there, and then maybe in October do another input on that. In terms of the enterprise GIS, we've reprioritized funding for both the licensing to have a web portal, in other words, that people from outside and inside can use the GIS, that the GIS can be available to everybody in the organization and to service the sector. So we've expanded the scope to not just be a GIS basis, but to be a GIS system for the sector, the environmental sector. And we've completed the work study investigation, which basically tell us in terms of the infrastructure, the licensing, but also tell us where the information is available and where the information gaps are and what the different nature of that gaps are. So in the end of next year, the phase one of the enterprise GIS would be completed. That is basically the area where we're talking about having the infrastructure in place for the internal people to be using this optimally, and with the information that is already in the department's possession will be available as part of the phase one enterprise GIS process. And then phase two and phase three then roll it out with external information integrated as well as making it available to the sector. So we are speeding this up, and we've dedicated capacity for this in the department now. Then the environmental sector performance, sorry, one back, that relates basically to the work that we do around the outcomes as well as the sector strategic plan, and we are working according to the targets that is set in those two strategic plans, both the outcome 10 as well as the sector strategic plan. Thank you. The local government support to up to this far, it was fragmented in the department, and it will continue. There's implementation done by different sections, for example, waste providing support in terms of the waste services. There is infrastructure development through the environmental programs, etc., and we've established that the stronger coordination is necessary there. So in addition to the focus on the IDPs, which is the integrated development plans and the spatial development framework, this unit is also taking on the responsibility to coordinate all the work that we are doing within the local government, the local government support work. And then in terms of the sector conflict management systems, this is going a little bit slower than what we've hoped. We hope that the unit would at least be fully established with a full strategy in place by the end of this year, but we will only be really having that system finalized in the next financial year. We have, however, as I said, piloted some of the mediation and conflict resolution and mediation provisions of NEMA. We've compiled a guideline in this regard, and we've used it in the Vredefort with mixed results. It's a steep learning curve in this regard. But we are on track to have this work fully on track in future. Thank you, Chair, and that is what the COO do when she's not in Cape Town in our town.
Just on the last slide, thank you, Chair. Are you just dealing with the Department of Corporate Governance, or are you also dealing with traditional affairs as a separate department?
Yeah, Chair, my question is just the CFO. Yeah. I'd like to know, CFO, your department, how many total posts in your because I see that your department structure, you had the financial management and the supply chain, and other special support finance support service in Cape Town. I think it's from your structure in Cape Town, 34 person. I want to know, these 34 person stay in Cape Town or stay in Pretoria? Why they if they in Cape Town, what's their service? Why they stay in Cape Town?
So I just like to know. So total your post, I think, is how many person in your department? I think it's over 70 people, I think.
Venga, at this point in time, we are focusing very much on cooperative governance on the services side. But I'll certainly make sure, and we're also involved with SELGA in terms of the local government support specifically. But I will certainly take the comment that we should also focus on traditional affairs to heart. In terms of the CFO, why do we have people in Cape Town? We do have people in Cape Town. We have two branches located here. The environmental programs, DDG, is based in Cape Town, as well as the Oceans and Coast program is in its entirety based in Cape Town. There are huge transactions related to those two programs, but they report to Pretoria. So there's people exercising the functions here, but the reporting line and is to Pretoria. Financial and corporate services in the new structure. So the CFO reported on the department's performance, but in terms of her structure, in terms of what supply chain management, etc., that input you have not had, and that in the new structure is part of corporate and financial services.
I would decide that's already going to take a nice
go ahead, Provisional.
I'm going to provision this Friday. Can I do it with entertainment?